Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we continue to prepare our hearts for His Word this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, You are an amazing God. Lord, so compassionate, so gracious, so merciful. Father, You are sovereign, creator of all things. Lord, all-powerful, all-knowing, yet You are involved in each one of our lives in such an intimate way. Your desire is for us to be near to You, to glorify You, Father. And Lord, this morning, Lord, we have Your powerful Word that is living and active, Lord. And I pray that our hearts and our minds be open to what You want to do in our lives. That we not oppose or reject what the Spirit is doing in our hearts this morning. That we're open, that we're humble, Lord, before You, that we're willing, Lord, for You to do Your work in us, Lord. And I pray that this brings about such joy and amazing peace in our hearts today. Father, I pray that You be glorified. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have a Bible, if you don't have one, there should be one there in front of you. We're going to be in Habakkuk today. So you can open to Habakkuk chapter 3. As we venture into this new year, we're already a good month into it, we may do so with the last 2 years in mind, wondering if this year will be much the same. Because for many of us, the last 2 years have been full of chaos and sickness and pain and loss. The last 2 years have driven up the numbers of those dealing with depression, those who have ended their lives by suicide. Mental health issues across the board are on the rise. And so many have lost hope in a better year. Many may think it doesn't seem to be a light at the end of the tunnel. How might God be using this ongoing trial in our lives? How could anything good come out of all of this struggle? But hopefully, over the last 2 years, you've also been reminded of just how fragile we are, just how fleeting life can be. Hopefully, our trust in the Lord has grown. Hopefully, we have asked the Lord the question, Lord, what do You want me to learn from all of this? How do You want me to grow through this? But sadly, that is not the case for many. What should our response be? To this ongoing trial, what should it be? What should be the nature of our attitude toward constant struggle, not knowing what the future holds, and seemingly having no control over the outcome? Today we're going to look at a much worse scenario, a time of unbelievable struggle and pain, with no change in sight. And I want us to learn from Habakkuk's example and how he responded to the times he found himself living. And the first thing we're going to learn here from this passage today is the joy of the Lord transcends our circumstances. So we're there in Habakkuk chapter 3. Just look there at verses 17 and 18. We'll start right there. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. Now, research shows us that Habakkuk was probably written sometime between 640 and 615 BC. It was just before the fall of the Assyrian Empire and the rise of the Babylonian Empire. Time and time again, God's people had turned away from Him. Even after continued warning of judgment, they did not listen. Therefore, they faced judgment, a judgment that was foretold by many of the prophets. First, God used the Assyrian Empire to punish Israel, the northern kingdom. And now He would use the Babylonian Empire to punish Assyria and Judah. War was raging all around them, and this affected the life of people in Judah greatly. Therefore, you can imagine what was going on through Habakkuk's mind and heart. A little bit before this time, King Manasseh had aligned himself with Assyria, introducing official worship of the Assyrian gods to his people. He was bringing about the total ruin of Judah. But just when hope seemed to diminish, the Assyrian Empire starts to crumble, and Josiah, King Josiah, he took the throne as king of Judah. He took it at 8 years old, and he started to turn Judah back to God. And there seemed to be hope for God's people again. But this change in Judah's alliance was temporary. Josiah died, and Judah's heart for God with him. And the Babylonian Empire started to rise and would eventually conquer Assyria, lay hold of Jerusalem, and take their people captive. And so Habakkuk's world is falling apart. In every direction, Habakkuk sees chaos, conflict, evil. He saw the pain and suffering that his people were enduring, and he saw it as injustice. The biblical foundations of his nation were gone. And therefore, he started this book overcome with burden and grief. Now, Habakkuk is different from other prophetic books in that instead of speaking to the people for God, Habakkuk spoke to God for the people. He starts off seeking God's face with a complaint, laying all that he saw before God and asking those hard questions of why? And as he communicated with God, he also stated some of God, the Lord's attributes, some of who God is, some of his characteristics. And he stated some of God's promises and how he had worked in the past. And he was asking God for mercy. Lord, please show us mercy. Now, although God is all-powerful, although he is sovereign, he is not far removed. He's very near to us. And he loves us unconditionally. And therefore, he extends grace and patiently listens to Habakkuk's complaint. He then responds to Habakkuk's complaint by revealing his glory and his power. And he begins to give Habakkuk a greater understanding of his plans and purposes. He reveals the truth to Habakkuk about what's really going on in all of this. And this helps Habakkuk not only better understand, but it changes his perspective on the whole situation. Habakkuk was having a hard time understanding, how can God use an evil nation like Babylon for his divine purposes? But in his communication with God, he realizes that God judges every nation. Even Babylon would be judged as well. They fell in 539 BC to the Persian Empire. He realizes, as Psalm 103:19 states, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. Or Psalm 47:8, God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. Every nation is judged by God and always has been. Even his own chosen people. Habakkuk is reminded of what's important, and he states this in chapter 2, verse 14, that the righteous live by faith. Faith in the one true God. Faith in the creator and sustainer of all things. Faith in the God whose plans and purposes cannot be thwarted. Faith in a God who cannot be placed in a box by human beings, who cannot be fully understood by the finite mind. Faith in a God whose ways are not our ways. The climax of Habakkuk's book is one of the great affirmations of faith in the Bible. His complaints, his anxieties are swallowed up with confidence and victory. His heart that's weighed down with burden and fear turns into a heart that is overflowing with joyous praise and worship of God. Look at his statement here he makes in these verses in 17 and 18. He says, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stalls. Now Habakkuk stated the worst case scenario. As bad as it was at that particular time, he now knew it was going to get worse. If they were without figs, that would be a great inconvenience because it was a normal part of their diet and something they made money off of. The staple drink of their culture was the fruit of the vine. That would be even harder. If the olive crops failed, not only would they lack with oil to cook with, but they would lack with funds to supply what was needed for them to live. Do you realize what's happening? The sale of olive oil was part of their financial system. But when the crops failed and there were no animals to sell or eat, There would be widespread famine and starvation and financial ruin for their nation. It was crumbling. This was a dire situation. Difficulty and sorrow and struggle on a grand scale. Something we may not be able to really wrap our minds around or grasp being here where we are. Yet look at how Habakkuk responds to God. Look at his statement of faith that he makes to the Lord. Now I want you to understand, his circumstances have not changed. In fact, they're probably going to get worse. The world around him is still full of rampant evil. War and sufferings are abounding. His people remain in a time of lamentation. Yet look what Habakkuk says in verse 18. He says, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation." How could he turn to praising God in a situation like this? How could his heart be filled with joy in the midst of such awful, awful circumstances? Just think about that for a moment. I'll tell you how. Because God spoke to him and revealed his vision and the ultimate outcome of history. As he sought the Lord, Habakkuk gained better understanding of God's nature and all that he is and what he was doing. And Habakkuk, at that moment, accepted God's sovereign plan. He accepted it. He believed it. He trusted in the Lord. Habakkuk was a person just like us. He felt sorrow. He felt the loss of his nation. He felt the pain and struggle caused by the circumstances he found himself in. And he had questions. But in his time of doubt, instead of turning away from the Lord, he sought the Lord. He listened to his word and he put his faith and trust fully in the Lord and what God said. Remember, faith is the conviction of things we don't yet see, but which are promised to us by God in his word. We find that in Hebrews 11:1. Sin has brought about the destruction of our world. If you didn't already know that, suffering abounds, pain and loss continue from one generation to another. And because of sin, brokenness in our inner being is felt by every single human being, whether we want to admit it or not. Everyone is seeking to be filled with something that the world offers only to be left wanting. Therefore, we can expect that we will face hard times and difficult circumstances in this life. And all of you can attest to that, I'm sure. Discouragement will come. But the child of God should take note of Habakkuk's example here and turn to God for help. You are to seek his face first. First. Before you run to anything else, you are to seek him first. You're to share your concerns with him. You are to ask him questions. It's okay. Ask him questions about things you don't understand. Seek God in his word that reveals the answers to our deepest needs. His word, where God speaks to us and gives us greater understanding. This is the pathway to a heart that's overflowing with joy. As we live day to day, we must spend time in God's word. That's where we regain our biblical perspective on things. See, God's word will give us a renewed glimpse of who God is and all of his glory and all of his majesty. A glimpse of what his plans are. A reminder of how sufficient his grace and power is toward us. He alone is where we find hope and sufficiency to live life. Habakkuk understood that. See, when we seek the Lord and trust in him, our hearts are filled with joy. Because joy is not a temporary happiness that fades away when circumstances change. That's not real joy. Joy comes from deep within our inner being. It's not dependent on the circumstances going on around us. The joy we have in Christ transcends our circumstances. You see, God is offering true joy to everyone. When everything material and everything temporal is stripped away, joy is still there. You know why? Because it's found in a person. It comes through an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord. It is one of the amazing spiritual fruits that we gain through our faith in Christ. God brings about this everlasting joy within our inner person. It becomes the overflow of our new heart in Christ. He says he wants his joy to be in us, our joy to be full. But instead, how often is our focus set on the circumstances we find ourselves in? How often are you focused on the trial that you're facing at the moment? How often do you focus even on the blessings in your life and not the giver of those blessings? See, in the midst of all that life throws at us, are you focused on the Lord our God, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, sovereign over all things, or are you chasing every new thing, trying to find happiness? Are you trying to buy your joy through temporary things or relationships with other people? God is the only true source of joy, which means if we want to abound with joy in our hearts, deep within our inner person, if we want to have the power to rejoice even in the midst of hard times or trials, then we must seek the Lord and draw from the source. Which leads us to the next thing that we learn here. The joy of the Lord is found in God's strength. Look there at verse 19. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on my high places. Habakkuk then reveals to us where his strength comes from. He tells us where his joy is found. It is in the Lord's strength. In his final words, he expresses his faith in the Lord. Habakkuk is not trusting in anything the world has to offer. Habakkuk is not trusting in his own ability to somehow rise above his circumstances. He's not trusting in a government to bring about his prosperity. His trust is fully in the Lord, and it is God who gives him the strength he needs. God the Lord, he says, meaning sovereign Lord. This name of God emphasizes the power and majesty of God, his sovereignty over all things. Habakkuk finds everything for living his life in the sovereign creator and ruler of this universe. Does this give you more of an understanding of why spending time with God is the most important aspect of your day? It's the most important aspect of your day. Habakkuk came to this place of faith by seeking God and finding answers from his word. Through his word, he gained true insight. For the times he lived in, he gained better understanding of God's plans. He gained insight for how God worked throughout history to bring about his plans and purposes. At that time, Habakkuk looked through a fog at the storyline of history, wondering about God's plans, what the future held. But think for a minute, how much better is it for us today? For those who have put their faith in Christ, we know the full plan of God. We have the full revelation of God from beginning to end in our hands. We know how it all began. We know what happened in the past. We know his promises, what he promises to do for us now. We know what he will do in the future, even on the last day. We get this very clear picture of the full redemptive plan of God. It's woven throughout all the Bible. And we know what's in store for his children when we breathe our last breath in this human body. It's all found in God's word that we have right here in our hands. Yet instead of seeking him, we doubt. We run ahead of God. We seek to find our own way of happiness. We seek to rely on our own strength and somehow rise above our circumstances. And you know, when it doesn't work, and it always doesn't work, we somehow begin to criticize God for everything. And we begin to put the blame on him, as if we have forgotten the consequence that sin has brought on our lives and on this world. But Habakkuk gives us a real life example of what to do when we're faced with all of life's problems. He shows us the pathway to abundant joy. We seek the Lord first above everything else. Do you realize what that means? When there's a trial, a decision, unforeseen circumstance, hard time, bad news, good news, whatever it is, we go to the Lord first. We seek him before we get on the phone to call somebody else, before we post it on social media, before we seek out a person near us. We seek the Lord first. We go to him first above everything else. And then when we go to him, we honestly admit our problems before him. We're humbling ourselves before God, and we're admitting these issues that we're facing. We're talking to God about what's going on in our lives and how this makes us feel, and we're asking him questions about what we don't understand. That's what God wants. He's a perfect father, and he's waiting for his children just to come to him, talk with him. So we're asking him those questions, but it doesn't stop right there. Because sometimes that's the way it is. We come and we complain and we ask questions and that's it. It doesn't stop there. We then allow him to talk to us. That's right. We allow him, God, sovereign creator of the universe, to talk to us. Does that sound strange? You know how we do that? By reading, studying, and meditating on his word. That's how God speaks to us, through his word. And when he speaks to us through his word, giving us greater instructions or understanding of his plans and purpose, instructions for how to live lives, our lives, commands, promises of a hope for the future, you know what we do next? We listen carefully. You know what that means? Sometimes that means you need to switch your phone off. You need to go in a place, as Jesus said, go in your closet and shut the door, a place without distraction, where you can be alone with the Lord, where you can hear. Because sometimes we're so busy that we don't take the time to really listen. Oh yeah, I read a chapter today. Let me check that off my list. I've done my duty. And we're not listening to what we just read. We have to listen carefully and take serious what he's saying. And then finally, we respond with obedience to him. We're trusting him fully. Okay, Lord, if that's what you want, then that's what I'll do. Our response should not be to run away from the problems or hard circumstances we face. It's not like they're going away. It's not like they're going to magically disappear. God is working in our lives despite the changing circumstances we face. God wants to use these difficult times to strengthen our faith and bring about spiritual maturity, spiritual growth. It reminds me of James chapter 1, 2 through 4, where it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." That sounds extraordinary, but difficult. God says that we can be joyful in hard trials because we know that God makes all things work for the good of those who love him, right? In other words, the testing of your faith through hard times brings about your spiritual maturity. That's what it means here by being made perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God is at work in your life, whether you know it or not. He wants to bring about joy and peace in the midst of all your circumstances. He wants to bring about spiritual growth in your life. He wants to remind you that he is with you, that he never leaves you. That none of this that's taking place in your life took him by surprise. He wants to use your testimony even in the midst of all, your testimony of joy, the joy that he gives you, to be a witness of his amazing grace, of his amazing power, Some of the greatest opportunities we have to be a witness of God's work in our lives is in the midst of these various trials. It's not about toughing it out. It's about looking at God in his proper place above all that transpires in this world. He is above all things, sovereign Lord, and yet he wants what is best for us. He's working individually in each one of your lives, trying to bring about what's best for you. Therefore, Habakkuk, he's drawing from the strength he found in the Lord. And that gave him the power to worship God regardless of his circumstances. Habakkuk stated that God makes his feet like the deer's. He makes him tread on high places as a deer climbs to the top of the mountain. God gave him strength to be sure-footed as a deer, filled with energy and endurance to keep pressing on. He would ascend to the heights of victory no matter the setbacks he faced in his life. Because the heights of the earth will be the ultimate possession of God's people. Your reward in heaven cannot, it is impossible to be compared to the struggles of this life. Your future, your eternity in heaven in God's presence, living in a perfect world, having a new perfect body, cannot be compared to this tiny little dot of time in the perspective of all of eternity. In an uncertain world, Habakkuk experienced true joy and peace because his faith and trust were in the Lord. And he sought the Lord faithfully. See, we too can experience God's joy and peace even when we're faced with unforeseen circumstances of life. Even though we're in a time of pandemic or in the midst of a divided nation, this is nothing new for this world. There's nothing new under the sun. And since the fall, when sin entered the world has not changed all that much. We still live in a world of hardship, devastated by sin. But even in the midst of that, we can find true joy and peace in the Lord if we put our trust fully in Him. Where do you find your strength? What do you seek to gain happiness? What do you lean into when faced with difficult trials and circumstances? If it is anything but the Lord, you will not enjoy His peace in this life. Your heart will not rejoice, and you will live in the midst of chaos and turmoil, being tossed to and fro by all the world throws at you, like the waves of the sea. And this is not what God wants for His children. That is not what He desires for you and your family. That is not what He has given us in Christ. In Christ, we have it all. We have it all. We already have our reward guaranteed by God. Yet, sometimes we act like we don't have nothing. Like we have nothing. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 states this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I know memorizing scripture can be tough sometimes. But we're going to start with these three small verses. Remember how Habakkuk looked at scripture? Listened to the Lord's word spoken to him, instruction? That's what we're doing right here. Verse 16, very short verse. Rejoice always. Let's say that together. Rejoice always. Let's say it one more time. Rejoice always. 17 is pretty simple too. Pray without ceasing. Let's say it together. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Okay, verse 18. A little bit longer. Give thanks in all circumstances. Let's start with that. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, I know memorizing scripture is hard, but I want us to try to memorize these three verses this week. I want us to take this practical understanding. This I want us to write them down. Write them down on a card if you need. Put them on your mirror in the morning and somewhere in your house so that you can read them. These are important truths. It may be the key to you having more joy in your life. Even more importantly, we need to know. We need to remember what God's will is for our lives. That's what he's saying here. This is the will of God for you. This is God's will for you, that you rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. If you're struggling at this present time, if you're facing an unforeseen, difficult circumstance, or you've been living and enduring a long season of trial, let's follow the example that we learned today from Habakkuk, the pathway to joy. If you haven't already, I want you to write this down. We're going to go back through this. We'll write this down. First thing we learned, seek the Lord first above everything else. That's the first part of this. Seek the Lord first. I don't know how you're going to remind yourself of that. Next decision you have to make, seek the Lord first. Unforeseen circumstance, trial, maybe the trial you're facing now, seek him first. Next, honestly admit and share the problems you're facing. Talk to God about it. Talk to God about what's going on in your life, in your heart, how it makes you feel. Ask him those questions about what you don't understand. So seek him first. Honestly, admit what's going on. Talk to the Lord in your prayer. But don't stop there. Next, we're going to allow him to talk to us. Here's where you need some time. This is pretty practical. We can look at our calendar. Is there any place on there, any time designated for you to spend time with the Lord in his word, allowing him to talk to you? Spending time, not just reading, but meditating, studying his word, listening carefully. That's the next part of that. Listen carefully. Take serious. And last of all, we respond in obedience to him, so that he can, as we walk with him, he can fill us with the strength we need to endure, the joy that can't be explained, that peace that surpasses all understanding, spiritual blessings that are just unbelievable that you have in Christ, that maybe you've not tapped into, you've not fully surrendered your life to Christ, and so you're not, you don't have that joy. You're living in chaos. Listen, we must stop putting our main focus on what's going on in this world and start focusing on the one who created us and has a plan for our lives. We have to stop focusing on all the supposed ideas about what the future holds and start focusing on what God reveals in his word about the future that is truth. Seek the Lord and what he has to say instead of what's on the internet. God is the ultimate source of truth, and everything else is man's point of view. Don't succumb to the enemy. Don't allow his tricks and his schemes to come in and divide you, separate you, make you distant from God, separate you in your marriage and make you alienate you from your children. Don't allow him to come in. Look around you. This world is in chaos. Families are being destroyed. Satan knows what he's doing. And we as believers have everything in Christ. We don't have to succumb to that. We who have put our lives in his hand, we've trusted in Christ, we've turned away from our sins, we've repented of those, we've turned to Christ, and we said, Lord, it's not my way anymore. I believe in who you are. I believe that you came and died for me on the cross. I believe you paid the penalty for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. And I'm putting my trust fully in you. I'm surrendering my life. You're Lord of my life. I'm no longer in control. You're in control. I'm going to live not by my terms anymore. It's your terms that are found in your word. And when you do that, he adopts you as his child. He saves you. And in Christ, we have so much to rejoice in. So much. So let's start rejoicing this morning. Let's rejoice in the God of our salvation. If you're not, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, maybe today is that day. Maybe you realize, you know what, I've never really turned from my old life. And maybe you're trying to live in both worlds. I like a little bit of what Jesus gives me, but I like a lot of what the world gives me.
You've never truly turned away from that and fully trusted or fully surrendered to the Lord. And maybe that's what you need to do today. But for those of you who have been saved, we say that word saved. That means that Jesus, God, stepped down into your life at some point in time. He convicted you of your sin. He opened your heart. He moved another child of God to come and share the gospel with you. And you believed in him. And you repented of your sin. You turned to him. You surrendered your life to him. He saved you. He saved you from eternity in hell and gave you eternity in heaven. He rescued you. So let's rejoice. Let's stand and let's praise him. Let's rejoice in the God of our salvation. Rejoice that he stepped into our life and he saved us from certain ruin. As the worship team comes, let's turn our attention to the Lord who is sovereign, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, the beginning and the end, the Lamb who was slain, who sits on the throne, the God who is compassionate and loves you unconditionally. Turn and lay your burdens on him. He is gracious. He is forgiving. Turn to him and find this joy, the joy of Christ, the real joy that transcends all of your circumstance, and experience that unexplainable peace in the midst of whatever you're facing. Let's stand and let's rejoice, or let's kneel, or let's, wherever you want to do, whatever the Lord's doing in your heart, respond to him right now. Don't reject what the Spirit wants to do in your life this morning. Let's respond to the Lord in worship.